TV evangelists have junk to give away. They have water from Jordan. How that bill of goods got sold is beyond me. If you ever watch what the cows and the sheep do upstream in Jordan River, I'm an old fisherman. If it rolls over a mountain stream over rocks, it purifies. But there ain't nothing to roll over. It just rolls over in the stream. I mean to tell you, I got into this one. I might as well finish it. I mean to tell you, when it hits up there as it comes out of the Sea of Galilee, it much stays constant till it gets to the Dead Sea. Salt takes care of it down there, but en route. Roll on, Jordan is right. The Word, I'll tell you what. Most TV evangelists don't know the original language of the Bible, so let's get another one down. Jordan means spreading judgment. Dan means judgment. Jor means spreading. Now, there's a word you can use, Jor. Spreading judgment. No Jordan water. That separates me. No rocks from Jerusalem. No dirt from Jesus' tomb. No, I got 5,000 more of these little crosses.
No.
Made of olive wood.
No.
Only got 5,000 for everybody gives a love gift and not less than $10.
Yeah.
I don't have any records that you can have for a love gift of not less than $5, which enables you to cheat on the IRS a little bit. I don't have a rubber woman here. A rubber woman to interrupt me with little marvelous and profound things out of Scripture where she can say, "Honey, have you ever noticed this Scripture before? Jesus wept." TV evangelists cannot be called to preach unless their wife is also called. Just the way it is. If you can't have equal billing, the marriage will go on the rocks.
Yeah.
And that'd be a stumbling block. So keep up the front on TV and hope they don't find out what really goes on at home or in the parking lot behind the studio. You say you sound like a cynic. I am. I haven't got any personalized foot washing kits for you folks. I mean, if you can't keep your own stinking feet clean, I ain't going to do anything about it. I haven't got some sweaty shirt that I tore up as a holy cloth that can mail you. Well, we're eliminating them fast. You say, I think that's awful. That's what I've been telling you. All of that's awful. Now, I'm not half as ashamed of it as God is. I haven't got a financial Armageddon to lay on you tonight, that the world is simply not going to be saved and all of God's purposes frustrated and he's going to have to retreat to the furthest ends of the universe unless you enable me to deliver the whole world by sundown tomorrow. Got any orphan pictures to show you? We take care of orphans, but I don't think they should be exploited on TV. I mean, frankly, I think the child, if he's going to die, ought to have the dignity of not having his distended belly shown to somebody else's exploitive purpose nationwide. I've had it. You're talking to an old, grizzled pastor. I pastor a congregational... Hey, you cities that have been with me for many months, can I tell these folks in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where I used to preach every year, so I have some friends up there, what this strange program is? I'm a pastor. I pastor a church of some... Is it 38 or 39 years old now? I didn't found it. I'm in my 10th year. in my 10th year. I tell you what. No, I won't tell you what. I'm in my 10th year. I'm an elected pastor. It's a congregational polity church. Give me the shrine music from the previous shrine service. That's what I want. Just put it up on tape and have it stand by. Because some people in Minneapolis, St. Paul, will never believe that as many of you would come on a Sunday morning to somebody that didn't have all these gimmicks. I'm a pastor. I've had it with Sunday religious programming that by oft repetition and a handful who package it, the world getting the idea that this is the norm for Christianity. Watchman Nee several years ago wrote a book entitled The Normal Christian Life. He said it's really abnormal in the view of most of the church world. What's normal is so strange and different from the rest of Christianity that it looks abnormal. And he wrote a book trying to reinstate normal Christianity. We are being brainwashed by a high-powered nucleus of sameness packaged by a bunch of leeches that just jump from television ministry to television ministry and hold the preacher captive and tell him how to do it, usually with some second-rate copy of Johnny Carson and a preacher wearing a desk, until I made him so uncomfortable they started sitting around on a couch talking banalities, giving away gimmicks, building holy hot tubs and hotels for Jesus, until everybody thinks this is normal Christianity. I grew up in the church. My dad was Mr. Pastor for 30 years in the city. You get the idea, if you're not weird and jumping up 40 feet off the ground and having a miracle every 30 seconds and the Lord telling you which brand of toilet paper to buy, you're not really spiritual or Christian. You got to park your brains at the door when you come to church. You got to have holy lights sheening up and down your backbone, halos spinning over your head, and a miracle every 5 seconds, or you're just not normal. My Bible tells me that God struck a tent in human flesh, and though no man has seen God, Christ has declared him. The Greek is exegesis, leads him from behind the curtain, puts him on display, and took God into ordinary life where ordinary people were, and the common people heard him gladly. And the church, it seems, particularly of late, is taking it back out of ordinary life and turning Christianity into some kind of weird woo-woo-woo stuff. The ordinary people get turned off by it. And faithful pastors that stay in a city and have to deal with people that don't get out of wheelchairs every 5 minutes, but have got more faith in their little finger than some of the evangelists dumping on them. I couldn't be a TV evangelist, particularly one of those healing ones. You got to somehow make every person that's in a wheelchair feel that they're a second-rate citizen, because if they had faith, they could get out of that wheelchair. You know what I've said, bears repeating. Give me a ball-peen hammer on the kneecap of that evangelist for 5 minutes. I'll put him in the wheelchair and we'll see how much faith he's got. I'm tired of some of this stuff. I'm tired of Christianity being peddled in such a way you've got to become a freako to be a Christian. I'm tired of the attitude that some little select band that doesn't really know how to sin have been anointed by God to dump on everybody every week until you're terrorized into the kingdom. My Bible tells me that every sin was laid on Jesus, and that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. My Bible tells me Jesus was a friend to sinners. I don't get much friendliness towards sinners coming out of the TV screen on Sunday. Sinners, well, when they come to the channel, they do one of two things. They either laugh, if they're real smart, or they quiver. Well, that guy's there to save their soul. I saw one evangelist on TV, And he happened to be on a program where some punk rockers were present. And the host said, "How do you feel about being on this show where some punk rockers are present?" He said, he begged the question. He said, "I love their souls." Horse spit. Just lost another bunch. Make sure you hear correctly. S-P-I-T-T. I articulate very clearly. I'm an elected pastor. I never miss. How do you love a soul? My Bible says God loves sinners. Commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're not being in love with sin. I must admit, I like sin. Another thing I don't like. I grew up in the church. I remember we always have a testimony meeting. I still remember this little old 11-year-old snot. He'd get up there. I knew what he did outside the church. I was about 12. I remember this 11-year-old snot. Get up when testimony, sir. I'm so glad that God saved me from a life of terrible sin. 11 years old. Some of these preachers talking about sin, and they used to say sin, and no pleasure in sin. Well, there's a real weirdo. I've longed for a dispensation to be their teacher. Then I took a look at them, and thank God I didn't have the dispensation, because some of those saying that, I was quite sure there would be a no pleasure in sinning with them. A lot of pleasure in sin. The Bible never even suggests there's no pleasure in sin. In fact, it says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But the Christian has the breath of eternal on him. He's made a cold turkey, hard-headed decision that this is preparation for another life. But he doesn't stop living down here. I'm not a television evangelist. I'm a pastor. I teach. I'm off the university network 24 hours a day. You just happen to tune in the middle of something. It made me do something that'll make my people across the nation very angry, because I always finish everything I start. And tonight, I have to leave something dangling. Now, I'm on a crusade to offer an alternative on Sunday. If you've been dumped on all day, I'm here to tell you God loves you. If you've been told that whatever you do that you like is going to send you to hell, I'm telling you, no, God will take your faith and give you Christ's righteousness and take you as you are. He didn't tell Peter to go out and get all of his unstable nature taken care of. He took him as he was. He didn't tell Thomas to get rid of his doubts. He took him as he was. He didn't stage some revival scene on the shore of Galilee and truck in the organ and get the lights just right and start swaggering back and forth and panting and sweating, and when the moment was right, cry on cue and get them all up to the altar. He just saw a fisherman. Probably he was naked, because he was, you know, even after he had followed Jesus. He went fishing, he took his clothes off, so I'm quite sure he didn't learn that from Jesus. So he sees Peter out there on the Sea of Galilee fishing, and he says, "Follow me." He didn't even ask him to pray. No time did he ever say, "Hey, you guys out there in the boat, now will you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus." I know I must be coming on like an atomic bomb in Minneapolis and at St. Paul tonight. Hey, you've had everything else all day Sunday. It's about time somebody come along with the alternative. I want the world to find out there are some ministries other than what's been stuffed down our neck every Sunday on TV. I wouldn't trade my dad, 79 years old, 30 years faithful ministry in a town, for all the TV evangelists I've ever seen. They're in every town. Faithful men. Oh, they're not as glamorous, but they're there when you need them. And then there's a few rats. And I'm in the business of helping you discern the difference. And it's about time somebody come along and say, there is genuine Christianity. I heard an evangelist not long ago say, God doesn't hear the prayers of Catholics and Jews. Jesus was a Jew. Now, that's stupid. Absolutely stupid. It's a pity that such judgmental nature will keep that evangelist from getting to heaven and finding some Catholics and Jews are there. You say, that's a harsh thing you've said. There's no sin quite as bad as putting yourself in God's place. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God, He justifies. Christ, He died for them. Now, if you want to know what I'm about, I'm a pastor. By the time I get to your town on Sunday night, I have had 7 hours, and I'll just be myself when that time comes. This is live. It's not rehearsed. There's no script. There's no idiot card there. I have no rubber woman to prompt me. Just me and you. And the members of my church who come and go here, and there are a lot of them, and we talk about everything. I teach on the pyramid, or about it, not on it. Teach on Atlantis. Teach on sex. I just dangle that one. I never have, but it just sort of keeps the interest up. Oh, I'll get to it one of these days. Teach on the lost tribes? I don't believe they're lost. Most of the time, I have one subject. I did a PhD at Stanford in philosophies of education. You're going to ask that question, so let's get it out of the way. I'm in love, have a lifetime love affair with God's Word, and I'm here to teach it. I believe there is no question asked by man that God hasn't either provided the answer or is ready to give us the guidance necessary to come up with the answer. I believe God's in control. I believe all truth leads us either to God or to answers that He's given. I'm not afraid to tackle any subject. I'm hooked on Jesus Christ. I believe He came out of that grave. I'm hooked on God's Word. And I believe God saves us because of our faith. I'm old-fashioned. When I said I'm not trying to save anybody, it's because I believe God can save people. I pastor a church full of people that are told by me, you live your convictions, we preach Christ. I don't police my people. I don't let them police me. I believe that you and God can work it out. And I think it's time that some preachers come along on television that make it their business to display God's faithfulness to you without dumping on you, to show off God's performance, and to do what Paul says alone will produce faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is so much in God's Word. I've been teaching for these last 10 years, 24 hours a day, in either reruns or live, probably have the world's record for live television, and I haven't even scratched the surface. That's why my people laughed when I said I never finish anything. I'm in love with the search for truth, and if I weren't hooked on God, I think I'd love the search as much as the answers that have been found. I have people in my church that are not Christians. They don't feel any compulsion from me. If the light isn't bright enough to attract, something's wrong with the light. I'm tired of religion being crammed down people's throats. I'm tired of people that got too much brains to listen to the claptrap being told God left them because they left the claptrap. God never left you, and I'm looking for the uncommon man that isn't afraid to address ultimate issues and doesn't like being dumped on all the time. That's what this program's about. And I've told you. Now, whatever I've told you, it'll be different tomorrow. We never know what we're going to do. It just does. That's all. We sing real spiritual songs most of the time. Well, am I the gone fishing? Let's sing that. Come on, let's make people feel good for a while. I'm tired of teaching for a minute. Get over here, musicians. Go over to the piano, Sam. Change places this time. I might have gone fishing. Now, that's a nice spiritual song. We've even sung this at altar calls. Well, am I the gone fishing? I got to think when it's over. That road to the river, turn me up. It's a mighty long way. It's gotta be the season. Ain't no rhyme or no reason. Come on, get enthused about it. Just a taking it easy. It's a lazy day. Ain't no way. There ain't no way. Folks, it's been nice to be in Minneapolis, St. Paul. This will probably be the last night. When I sing this verse, that's it. Come on now. Well, the sun is out shining. Give me some water back there. And the willows are whining. And the fish are up pining. Turn me up. For a line and a pole. I'll just sit here and have me a cold beer. I'm taking it easy. It's a lazy day. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're waking up all my Scandinavian friends up there and saying, do you remember Gene Scott that used to be up here? You got any water back there on that VTR machine? Let's create a nice little fishing scene. You got any water back? Well, the sun is out shining. Come on. It is out shining. And the willows, they're whining. And the fish are up pining. For a line and a pole. But I think I'll just sit here. Have me a cold beer. Well, the sun is out shining, and the willows, there it is, and the fish are up lining, or lining up the pole, but I think I'll just sit here, and have me a cold beer, taking it easy. It's my lazy day. Come on, get into it now. Oh, well, I'm mighty gone fishing. I got to thinking it over. Now that boat to the river. It's a mighty long way. It's got to be the season. Ain't no rhyme or no reason. Ain't a taking no orders. Ain't a hiring no people. Ain't dating no women. Ain't a wanting to play. Gonna look stupid. Don't wanna be Cupid. Just taking it easy. It's a lazy day. Well, I might have gone fishing. I got to thinking it over. That road to the river. It's a mighty long way. Well, it must be the season. Ain't no rhyme or no reason. Just taking it easy. It's a lazy day. Now don't you never mind calling. Cause I ain't a coming. Just get you on by me. Stay out of my way. A little deep thinking. It'll drive me to drinking. Just to make it easy. It's a lazy day. Well, I might have gone fishing. I got to think heaven. It's a mighty long way. It must be the season. Ain't no rhyme or no reason. Just a taking it easy. It's a lazy day. Yeah, you that just joined us. Well, the sun is out shining, and the willows are whining, and the fish are up pining, for a line in the boat. But I think I'll just sit here, have me a cold beer, and taste it in. You're all nuts. It's Malay today. Come on now. Oh, well, I might have gone fishing. I got to thinking it over. I got to go to the river. It's a mighty long way. But it must be that season. Ain't no rhyme or no reason. Just taking it easy. It's a lazy day. Across the nation, find out that we've added another city now. When they have to wait an hour to get through the phones as it is. There are lots of, as I said, sincere pastors out there that have stayed with the stuff. And there are maybe one or two, I haven't heard them yet, that don't fit the mold. But I am concerned. You're going to ask, well, how's this program supported? It's supported by people that I teach. Galatians 6 says, if you've been taught, then share materially with the one that taught you. And that's where, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap, is put in. It has to do entirely with that exchange between a teacher and those that are taught. I'm tired of God being shamed with the way money's raised on television. C.S. Lewis once said, God to be God has no needs. He's the creator. He speaks and nothing becomes everything. So whatever reason there may be for giving and stewardship in God's book, it's not because God has needs. He created the worlds. And yet we see God denigrated. C.S. Lewis went on to say that God being the creator has no needs. We as creatures have needs. Our greatest needs to be is the need to be needed. He puts it beautifully. He says, God humbled himself and covenanted a plan whereby he'd do his work utilizing us and what we give him in order that we might feel needed. It's about time somebody bring dignity back into the Christian presentation. I'm proud of God and proud of his word. Not too proud of the way he's tagged on and made to look like he can't subsist without little dime store trinkets being used. People giving you things in order to get you in their computer that they might make your mailman hate you. I haven't written a letter. I pastor a church of many thousand. I haven't written a letter to my congregation in at least 6 or 7 years. I gave them one as part of a special anniversary packet. We have $1 million worth of computers sitting over here. We're just now starting to send a magazine out. In fact, if you want it, you can have it free. But it's so out of character for us, we've been months just getting the names organized to send you the magazine, The Truth. And if you want it, you can have it free. I believe that God should not take the tuckhead. I don't think that it's God's will to cram the faith down anybody's throat. God's not having the church save the world, God's saving some out of the world. And the solid theologians have recognized for years what's called prevenient grace. The initiative starts with God. Jesus said, no man can come to God save the Spirit draw him. What has been called witnessing has become an excuse to just cram your faith unwanted down too many people's throats. When the Holy Spirit draws them, the time's right. The occasion is comfortable. I have made an altar call. Some can. That's okay. I haven't made an altar call in my church in 5 years. I believe if you preach God's Word right, the altar call happens while you're preaching it. I haven't tried to change anybody in 10 years. And yet last Sunday, I would guess 3,000 to 4,000 people stood, but their lives had been changed without me lassoing them and twisting it into them. It is part of my mission to return, lift a voice on TV that can return God and His Word and His work to a dignity that can command respect. God's not a beggar. Our work is supported by people that I've taught. If I teach you what I believe, it's the most valuable thing you'll ever find. And I'm looking for the uncommon man or woman that will say, this is worth something. And religious worship is a contraction of two English words, worship. I'm ashamed when I see ministries who act as though their ministry is not worthy of support. They've got to tag on these gimmicks and these giveaways. If I don't teach you something, don't ever send me a dime. Sinners, stay comfortable and watch and have a good time. If I teach you, I trust that I'll find quality people who will say, this is worth supporting. And I never apologize for it. I'm like a teacher of a university of the air that teaches and lets you pay the tuition based on what you think it's worth after you've been taught. I haven't done much teaching tonight. We're getting acquainted. But I hope you'll let us come into your home without the perceptual sets. That's why I tried to shatter a few of them by the song that we sang. Fort Worth. Second time to call. I've been watching 2 days. Does he believe a person has to be baptized to become saved? No. Sorry. That'll probably lose me some Church of Christ friends and a few others. But I got a right to my opinion. I believe the thief on the cross was saved. Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. God does the saving. Baptism is an open testimonial of a commitment already made. Become a member of the church? Well, the church is a people that belong to the Lord. And when He takes you, when your faith is turned loose, God does 3 things. He puts your sins on the tree, on Christ, past, present, and future. Every sin covered. God looks at you as though they're no longer there. Puts His life in you, which begins to change you. That's as close as I come to being mystical. I really believe in that miracle, that God gifts the substance of His presence. I find that easy to believe because I believe in the resurrection. If I could believe Jesus came out of that tomb, went through that rock, pierced that door, and sailed off in the blue, if I can believe He spoke and not a thing became the universes, the galaxies, this world, He can certainly, by His Word, place His life in you. A third thing happens. He places you in Christ, looks at you as a finished product. That's all a gift. Not because of your performance. He puts the performer in you because of your faith. And that placement of His life in you makes you a member of His body. That is the church. Again, you can affiliate. That isn't a saving experience. That's just a technique developed over the years to imprison you behind some East Berlin Wall church. I'm setting men free into God. You and God work it out where you are, and He saves you where you are, and He really didn't need any help to save Paul on the Damascus Road. Does Dr. Scott believe in miracles? I sure do. Christian faith starts with a miracle. The resurrection. We tread on some traditional toes. I respect anyone who lives their convictions. That's not the problem. I grew up in the church. I've been a historic churchman all my life. I fully subscribe to the premise of Romans 14. If you think something's wrong, it's wrong for you to do it. If you think it's wrong, it's a sin for you. What I've gotten intolerant of is people projecting their guilt on everybody else. You know, if you want to be a nothing, be a nothing. But don't make everybody else be a nothing. If you haven't lived with God's Word enough to set your conscience free from traditions, then live your convictions. But quit cramming them down anybody's throat. I have convictions. There are things that I don't do, not because somebody else tells me not to do them. I am convinced that 99% of Christianity is done for other Christians. There's a great deal more fear of the opinion of other Christians than fear of the Lord. And I've come to the kind of reckless independence that Paul came to. He said, henceforth let no man trouble me. He said it to the Galatians. He had good reason to say it to the Galatians. He said to them, who has bewitched you? What do you call them? A bunch of bewitchers that had come into the territory where he had set them free and made them come to know the love of God, and that God would take them as they were and give them the gift of his life and the gift of salvation. And along came the Judaizers, bewitching them. I'm not putting down the Jew in that statement. It was the Christians that tried to stamp the old Judaic pattern from Jerusalem onto those Galatians. He said, who's bewitched you? Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the question was rhetorical. Now keep going, in essence, he said, the way you started. And then he hurled his own example at him. He says, henceforth let no man trouble me. No man. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The word translated marks is stigmata in the Greek. It was a brand placed in the body of a bond slave, identifying that slave as belonging to a particular master. Henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the bond slave mark, the stigmata of the Lord Jesus. I don't care, and I respect what anyone does that is an expression out of a genuine devotion to their Lord. I'm just tired of people cramming their conviction down my throat. I'm here to preach Christ. I'm here to tell you God loves you. I'm here to tell a lot of people that left the church, God never left you. I'm here to tell a lot of people, your thought processes shouldn't separate you from God. Jesus said, I am truth. I lost my faith in university. I survived. I lost it because my faith was so small, it wouldn't encompass reality. Thank God I was put on a track through hard study of finding out God never left me, and that my questions were all right. I didn't think up anything that surprised God. So I do tread on convictions of some people. Fine. They've been treading on mine for years. Turnabout, fair play. There needs to be some voice out here that says to people that have been whipped on and dumped on and beat on and driven from the church, hey, God loves you. The thousands listening to me right now that wouldn't enter the door of a church. You never turned on God. Well, here's one voice in one place that you can talk to about these matters without being put in a box. Somebody already asked me from Minneapolis, what's your denomination? I never answer that. I'm a Jesus man. Nobody's going to put me in a box. That puts you immediately in a little old neat category. I'm a searcher. I've found, and my faith is like a circle with some solid dots in the middle. They're pretty solid. So much so I'm willing to die for them. I've grabbed hold of them, and they've been confirmed in my experience. There's a lot of gray dots in that circle I'm still working on. And I intend to keep working on them. God doesn't care. He gave me a brain, the mind to use. Now, because I tread on traditions, there are always a few in every town, right station immediately. They're just scared to death I might set you free into God. I need the people that know that this is what you want in your town to write quickly to your station or call and let them know you're glad that we're there. The negative people are always quick to erect a Berlin Wall and keep a free voice out. You that want some alternative, you need to write and call your station and say, hey, keep this on.